and Prevention, the CDC, found that Hispanics or Latino people are 2.1 times more likely to die from COVID-19 than white people, while African American people are 1.9 times more likely to succumb to the virus. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has also found that certain ethnic and racial minority groups are less likely to receive outpatient antiviral treatment than white people. Furthermore, in nearly half of U.S. states, black and Hispanic vaccination rates are lagging behind white vaccination rates by at least 10 percentage points or even more, according to Bloomberg News Agency. Donald Trump, however, exaggerated New York's guidelines on Saturday, 15th of January, by incorrectly claiming that white people are not given proper treatment in comparison to people of color. If you're white, you don't get the vaccine, or if you're white, you don't get the therapeutics. It's unbelievable to think this, and nobody wants this. Black people don't want it, white people don't want it, nobody wants it, Donald Trump added during his speech, prompting some of his supporters to cheer him. The Florence, Arizona rally marked Donald Trump's first big public event of 2022. Donald Trump also lavished praise on all speakers at the rally, who made a point of emphasizing his point about alleged widespread election fraud during the November 2020 presidential election. In other parts of his speech, the former president continued to push unfounded claims that the 2020 presidential election was stolen due to voter fraud, while also slamming President Joe Biden and railing against his COVID-19 mandates.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining us in the studio yet again is our dear friend and esteemed guest, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you heartily, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
Thank you for joining us yet again. Sayyid, this question, it is very relevant, and inshallah, through your answers, we will inshallah reap benefits, just as the listeners will also inshallah reap benefits from the way you answered, and say inshallah a lot, because this is really the hope behind your answer, because we live in a society that is rapidly evolving, developing, and especially one such aspect of our society, which is also what in history they have called our age, the technological age, because we are so advanced from the perspective of technology, and a part of such technology is social media and the internet as a whole. Sayyid, as most people know by now, the internet and especially social media, it is governed by algorithms. One of these algorithms, such as the Facebook algorithm, it decides what content you see. Like when I go on Facebook, I log in, there are perhaps some advertisements, there are some contents that has been posted, and they are shown to me. And these algorithms, they are developed to show you these things because either they are popular or you have an interest. And they have determined these by gathering a lot of data, a lot of statistical data and other kinds of data. So my question therefore, Sayyid, is, I as a Muslim, as a believer in God, who has morals and rules and obligations, I believe in the Sharia, when I go on such a website or Instagram, for example, and an advertisement pops up or a post pops up with a half-naked woman staring at my face, have I committed a sin or am I just an innocent bystander?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Really nice question and good question. We have a verse in the Quran which says that those who know, ya'lamun, and those who do not know, la ya'lamun, they are not equal. La yastawun.
Right.
Those who know and those who do not know. The question which you just asked, obviously, the first thing is we need to see whether before we want to say something about the actions of the people, are they doing it intentionally or unintentionally? Were they aware of such thing or they were unaware of such thing? For example, when I'm saying aware and unaware, means that whether they know about this logic of algorithm or not, that when they search for something, when they see a clip or maybe an ad which pops up later, it will keep coming on for them because of that algorithmic system which has been developed by Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or maybe Google. You know, WhatsApp is also on Google now.
Right.
And whatever you do tomorrow, they're going to tell you.
Every company
is on the Google. Right. So Google can tell about your mood, what you eat, what you do.
Yeah, what, and there's the short clips what as well made to on whatever it. You do.
So this Google knows everything about you.
Right. I automatically Google.
So basically, it depends whether this person knew about this or not. If he was unaware of it, then obviously we need to generate awareness, like the question you just asked, and this program is also bringing awareness to the listeners who are listening to us.
Right.
That obviously, when you search for something, when you see a short clip or an ad, maybe on YouTube, which pops us before, you know, most of the time we press the skip ad when the video about to start.
Yeah.
And in the middle of something, like there are many ads and you keep skipping. But there are some people who clicks on it and then it opens a website.
Right.
So basically he enters to that algorithm.
Right.
And these things keep coming for him again and again through different means.
Right.
So if he was unaware of this, so he should need to get aware of all these things. And it's our duty as well, the media and those who know about it, to aware the general Muslim. And if they accidentally has seen something and later they keep seeing the same things and they keep, you know, closing those pages, for example, or ads, it means that this person is saved. Obviously, he has to be careful because once he has seen it and now it's keep popping up, and now every time he has to close it or maybe do something so that he cannot see it again. But on the other hand, those who know about it,
those who are aware, which is the majority,
who are aware that if I do this, for example, in Instagram or like Facebook, if I watch this video, then it keeps bringing the similar,
videos, similar content,
similar context, then right. Obviously he is becoming the part of that clip. If it is such a clip which takes us towards the, you know, which is taking us away from the guidance, then
right.
Obviously
towards
he is
unlawful and sinful deeds.
He's participating in that sinful deed.
Right.
And he's participating in that kind of action or the video which was made. So he has the equal, we can say, like participation in that.
Right.
So obviously, yes, then if it's a sinful content, then obviously he's the part of that. And on top of that, when he opens the site, when he opens the, you know, the ad, he's basically supporting it.
Right.
You know, this is also known as support in today's world. In today's world, we know that the YouTube channels which we make, that which has the most views, you know, they get money.
Right. Yeah.
From the YouTube. And we are becoming the cause of such thing. So therefore, over the internet in today's world, where the internet is the means of earning as well, if someone does such thing with the awareness, obviously he is becoming the part of that and he is involved in that sin. And
Sayyid,
he has the participation.
Right. What about a person who doesn't click? For example, if you go on Instagram, which I have used before, even if you do not click on it, and I swear to you, even if you do not click or search for it, either an ad will pop up which leads to un-Islamic thoughts or shows something that you're not supposed to see as a believing Muslim, or it shows some content that's very popular around the world, and you know, naked people are always popular around the world, especially naked women for men. And I haven't clicked on it, but it popped up and I've seen it. What should I do? Should I stop using this program altogether, or?
The first thing is you need to see, obviously, do we need such a program or not? That's the first step. Why even we should have an Instagram or Facebook? You know, I made a Facebook because of some reasons, like they said, because you go for Muharram or preaching and all those, upload your videos, we can see live and all those.
Right.
But you know, my Facebook is only active in the month of Muharram and Safar. And throughout the year, I never go back towards. And that's right. Only for, you know, giving my lectures live and all those, whenever I have a lecture or something like that. So basically, the first question is, do we need this? Why do we need Instagram? What is it for?
Some people just see the pictures, videos.
You know, it's not the mean of being updated. This is wrong concept.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. Some people say they use Facebook, I know, for example, in Denmark, to keep in contact with other people.
Yeah, that's fine. You need to see
social contact.
You need to see what is your, you know, goal.
Right.
Of having a Facebook account or an Instagram,
right.
Or why you go on the YouTube. You need to pursue the same goal,
right.
And not being deviated. But if you do not need, for example, you give the example of Instagram. Instagram is like, you know, when you have a number or email, it keeps sending the things. If you're from Denmark, it will send you the most of videos from Denmark. If you have a Iranian number, it shows you the accounts of Iranian. But on top of that, obviously, there are two options. One is home, another is search. When you have selected, followed a couple of accounts in the Instagram, for example, then you need to stick on the home page.
Right.
Don't go towards the search.
Don't move.
Don't move.
Stay there.
Because I have chose a couple of accounts, for
right.
example, in the Instagram, and on my home page, it keeps showing me the new videos from the same accounts,
right.
or when they're live. So I do not feel a need of going to the next page.
Right.
There is no need of going because I'm gaining knowledge or being updated through these things which I have chosen. So we need to be very much careful while using the internet because the world of internet is very much taking us towards the deviation, misguidance, and it is very hard to be sticking with the goals that we have. Therefore, we need to set our goals. Why do I need Instagram? For example, there are a couple of questions we need to ask. Do I really need Instagram, which I cannot live, or which I cannot, like without Instagram, I cannot be, you know, updated.
Some people just use it for entertainment. Is that then a legitimate reason?
That's the main thing. That's the main thing. This cause which we have made for ourselves, that entertainment is through Instagram, it leads us later to the other places.
To sin.
To the sin. So we need to be very much careful. That's the main point. That's what
right.
I'm saying. That when we are opening an account, we need to see. When I'm entering into the Instagram, I need to see whether I need it or not. You know, the simplest translation of taqwa, which I generally do, because in the Quran, Allah says that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا all those who believe اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, the simplest translation is do not disobey Allah, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with the truthful people. This is the verse of Quran, chapter Tawbah, chapter 9, verse number 119. Now in اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ or taqwa, and on top of that Allah says, Allah said that inna akramakum indallahi atqakum.
Yes.
The one who is most honorable in the eyes of Allah is the one who is God-weary, taqwa, who has atqa,
God-weary. If you're God-weary,
Yes, godly. It means that you do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Of course.
The one who do not disobey Allah. When I'm opening my Facebook or Instagram, or when I go into the world of internet, I need to see, am I being the one who is disobeying Allah in these actions, or I'm not? If I'm not disobeying Allah, then there is no sin. But if it caused me to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously I need to do repentance.
Right.
I need to seek forgiveness, and I need
stop
to...
Stop using this program, yes. First of all.
I need to stop, or if I'm using it, or if I need to use it, then obviously do not deviate from the goals that you have set.
Right.
And in every single action, you need to see the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So you do
it's
you have
not
the...
Only, it's not...
If I might interrupt you because we are short of time, just want to ask this final question, and inshallah we should reap benefits from what you will answer. And that is, in the entire world, like just not only in the West, no, also in Islamic countries, Iran, every single person on the earth, teenagers, young people are using social media more and more. They start from a very young age and then they continue to until God knows when. What can we say to these people about all of these risks and also some benefits that are entailed with social media? Like, should we tell them just do not use it at all? It is best to leave it? Or how are you supposed to approach this growing problem in our society, say?
That's again one of the tragedies that we have, that in today's world, the parents are not aware of the disadvantages of the cell phones.
The dangers.
The dangers of these cell phones and all those things. Well, they better have to do a search on the internet, which they can do, and this is my advice, that search that the Google employees or the Microsoft employees, we have that, some of them, those who are the developers, like Bill Gates is the owner here. When do they give their kids a laptop or tablet or phone? When they become 18 years old. Yeah, it's in the interview. They said clearly that we gave our kids cell phones or the tablets at the age of 18. Why? Because they know the danger of the tablets at the early age, the use of it. Unfortunately, in today's world, our parents, like generally the people, when the son or the daughter or the kid, they're coming next to them, they're asking something, the easiest way of getting them busy into something else is to just give them a cell phone with some games installed on it, or just telling them surfing on the internet.
That is paradise.
And this
for
is
a child.
Yes, and this is what the parents are doing. So they need to stop this, and they need to control. Even if they're they want to give it to their kids, they should have a specific time. For example, 1 hour or 2 hour or half an hour, with the surveillance, not without the controlling them.
Said, I'd love to continue this conversation, but we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for joining us today, and I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في لعلي وحسين وحسن
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, and on the eve of the blessed birthday anniversary of the Holy Prophet's Immaculate Daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, let us hear some interesting words from this Lady of Light about the purpose of creation by God Almighty. He originated things, but not from anything that existed before them, and created them without examples to follow. Rather, He created them with His might and dispersed them according to His will. Not for a need did He create them, nor for a benefit for Him did He shape them, but to establish His wisdom, bring attention to His obedience, manifest His might, lead His creatures to humbly venerate Him, and to exalt His decrees.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Traveling around the world is a wish a lot of people have, but never actually get around to it. However, this Belgian-British girl has achieved that feat at only 19. Zahra Rutherford flew back home on Thursday to a crowd made up of family members, friends, fans, and journalists. She completed her odyssey after just over 5 months traveling over 52,000 kilometers. Zahra is the youngest female in the world to fly around the globe. She achieved this using a micro light aircraft, which weighs only 325 kilograms and has very low fuel consumption.
The plane obviously is a bad for the environment. I'm not trying to claim that it is, but I have chosen one of the best aircraft to do it with. The fuel consumption is amazing. For this whole trip, it's used the same amount of fuel as a Boeing uses in about 10 minutes. For the whole trip around the world, which I think puts things into perspective. Obviously, it is bad, but I'm really trying to minimize my impact as much as possible.
Zahra says the scariest part of her trip was flying over the frozen expanse of Siberia, a place with no human habitation close by. The teen adventurer also had to deal with different countries' health restrictions. Zahra had to take multiple PCR tests on her journey, while China's COVID-related regulations meant she could not use the country's airspace. Now Zahra says she is glad she can stay in one place for a few months. Who knows what her next adventure will be? The Chinese New Year is less than 2 weeks away, and millions of people around the world are in festive mood. In Vietnam, people are preparing to buy each other a special gift. Since this year's animal zodiac sign is a tiger, figurines shaped like the animal are in high demand. The Vietnamese are making, selling and buying gold-plated tiger models to commemorate the new year. Making these sculptures is a lengthy and difficult process. It usually requires clay and copper, which are painted, gilded and polished before being covered with 24-karat gold sheets. People tend to purchase these gifts for the luxury they evoke.
Possessing a zodiac animal model made with precious material such as gold would mean its owner is in the high class in society and is successful economically.
The gold-plated tiger model will firstly bring a luxurious feeling, and secondly, this tiger with wings model shows my hope for my works to take off and have some breakthrough in the new year.
The intricate artworks find their way to gift shops all over Vietnam. They usually sell for between $300 and $3,000. Disability is not an obstacle to success. A group of Japanese with disabilities has proved it as they create incredible handicraft and make a living this way. A shop called Amayaka offers the items made by these disabled individuals. Located in a Tokyo neighborhood, it showcases products ranging from scarves and bags to glassware and colorful cards. Amayaka and all other workshops are part of a new movement aimed at promoting works of people with impairment. In just one of the workshops cooperating with Amayaka, about 20 disabled people are working over there. However, organizers of the movement say these people are still invisible in the society and are not paid fairly for their works despite being experienced in craftsmanship.
Some workers here have a career of more than 30 years. They have been weaving since their school days. They are so experienced that we should refer to them as artisans.
The organizers say they hope that their initiative will promote the works of the people with disabilities and help the society to start thinking about the way disabled workers are being treated. Turtles get a second chance to spread their fins after being found with bellies full of plastic. They were rescued and are now being released back to the sea in Argentina. Two green turtles and four loggerhead turtles were saved from fishing nets in Buenos Aires province. The group was taken to Grupo Marino Foundation, where they recuperated after purging 10 types of plastic from their bodies. Rehabilitation of the turtles lasted over a month and included blood tests and other procedures to make sure they were free of plastic. A biologist for the foundation says the danger of plastic is that it's silent and usually its dangers are so gradual that it goes unnoticed.
Many times the animal appears to be in perfect health. However, during the checkup and evaluation, we found a large amount of this material inside. So it is important to get rid of the plastic before the condition worsens and it ends up causing the death of the specimen.
The turtles had mistakenly eaten plastic, thinking it was food. Wind, waves, and sunshine break down discarded plastic into tiny pieces, which litter ocean waters. Much of this plastic waste can be found on beds of seaweed that turtles forage for food. This trash ends up fatally clogging their bellies, causing the decline in the population of this graceful reptile.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
The Indian administered Kashmir has the world's only floating post office, a 200-year-old houseboat on a famous Dal Lake in Srinagar. Set up during the British rule in India, the post office has survived throughout the years because of its charm. Our correspondent, Shahana Bhatt, has more.
The Indian-administered Kashmir was once a princely independent state, out of bounds for outsiders. As the ruler of Jammu and Kashmir disallowed non-locals to own property in this picturesque region. During the British rule in the Indian subcontinent, many Britons tried to find an alternative way of living in Kashmir. Thus, houseboat on the world-famous Dal Lake came into existence. Today, the lake is a home to hundreds of such boats, which are a major attraction for tourists around the globe. This one is a unique boat, the only floating post office in the whole world. This is a 200-year-old boat built by the British. It has truly stood the test of time, as it still functions.
Post office, Dal Lake.
This is not an ordinary post office. We're standing on a heritage property. I've enjoyed my work since the very first day I came here. It's a unique experience to be working here, and every day I get the chance to meet people from different corners of the world.
The boat is not limited to postal services. It also has a small museum where colorful stamps from the 1980s are put to display, along with a collection of rare philately stamps. The post office is a hot tourist destination in the region. Locals also come to this post office to send postcards to their loved ones, inviting them to visit Kashmir.
Floating post office.
In the age of technology, electronic mail, e-cards and other internet applications have made it extremely easy for people to communicate. But sending a postcard from this floating post office gives one a really different feeling.
The floating post office underwent reconstruction in 2011 and is currently a part of the Indian postal system. Recently, the office started offering banking services, thus attracting more locals.
I have opened an account here for my daughter. It's hassle-free and this place suits my mind. It's not like the usual offices. Visiting this place with kids is like a trip.
Yet another attraction of this post office is this souvenir shop, from where everyone can buy postcards, stamps, traditional crafts and greeting cards.
This floating post office in Kashmir's Dal Lake is like a time machine. It brings people back to 2 centuries ago and shows them the history of the beautiful region. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Now let's go to Germany to hear the heartwarming story of how technology is turning a young boy's life around. 7-year-old Joshua has a severe lung disease which has made him unable to go to school. But now he can attend his classes from home with the help of an avatar robot. The device sits in Joshua's Berlin classroom, enabling him to listen to the classroom in real time to what his teacher and classmates are saying. Joshua can even interact with everyone else by making the robot display a blinking signal.
Each year, a village in Vietnam becomes awash in red and orange as it gears up for the Lunar New Year with spectacular mass production of incense. January is usually the busiest time when villagers are dyeing, drying and whittling bamboo bark to make the fragrance sticks. Also, the scent of each batch is carefully tailored to suit the tastes of the regions where they will be sold. Most households here are involved in this ancient trade and sales are a major part of their livelihoods. The Lunar New Year will begin on the first day of February. Around this time, sales tick up with throngs of people crowding into temples to light incense during worship. A 3-year-old girl from China's Hebei province has astonished ski enthusiasts with her impressive snowboarding talent.
Hello everybody, I'm Wang Shishi. I'm 3 years old and I can snowboard now.
She
species' skills have attracted a lot of attention as a toddler boldly tackles the slopes. She makes snowboarding look easy. Despite her tender age, she is already taming the slopes at a higher skill level than a number of other aspiring snowboarders. Her parents say she has been practicing for less than 2 weeks and her progress is startling.
I remember several years ago, I felt quite scared when I was on the advanced slope, but a mother told me that Shishi started to snowboard down right when she got to the advanced trail. She was not afraid at all.
Her parents say she quickly grasped the snowboarding movements and techniques, including some of the trickier swivels and turns. They say Shishi is enjoying the progress she is making on the slopes, and every chance she gets, she asks to go snowboarding. The young snowboarder's mum says the hobby has also brought the family closer together as they enjoy a shared passion together.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, we will have these organs readily available. If this works, and I hope it will work, we'll have these organs available. We have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that. And, can customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients die each year before getting one. Kingdom of Ice and Snow. Don't be surprised, it's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duan Duan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, this sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
Today's special.
السلام عليكم.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friends. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. We're going to speak about consultation in Islam.
La, 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 la.
But first, we'll look at the calendar. What date is today? Today, Saturday, is the 19th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of January, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As every work, we start with recitation of the Holy Quran. Today we'll listen to chapter Al-Imran, verse 159.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين.
So by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and consult them in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The content of the verse works as some general instructions, but the revelation of the verse is about the Battle of Uhud. The Muslims who had ran away in the Battle of Uhud and were defeated were burning in the fire of regret, remorse, and sorrow. They gathered around the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and apologized. Then the Lord issued the command of their general pardon by this verse. Consultation and reliance in Allah and beloved with Him, whether we attain the aim or not.
You could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
On today's special, we're going to hear about consultation in Islam. No doubt, through consulting with others, many personal and social problems can be solved. The combination of two thought patterns acts like the coming together of two wires of different charges, which gives light to the environment. Since consultation has a significant effect in resolving problems,
The Holy Quran orders the Prophet to consult with others in finding solutions. Thus, both wisdom and narrations combine to indicate the sensitive position and the significance of consultation. It is better for Muslims to make use of this great Islamic command, which is the very basic of prosperity and social improvement. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role and effect of consultation in Islam. First of all, nobody, no ordinary person, may claim to know everything. Naturally, everybody needs advice and consultation of other people. Imagine that you may want to take a trip with your own car from your own city of residence to another city for the first time, and you don't know the roads, you don't know the directions, destinations, or the itinerary and so on. What would you do? You try to find someone who is familiar with that city and with the ways, from your city of residence to that city. And you ask him about what would be the easiest, shortest, and surest way to take a trip from your city to another one. This is one point. Another point is that in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, as indicated in the book Nahjul Balagha, which is a collection of the discourses of Imam Ali alayhi salam, it's indicated that when people receive consultation or suggestions of other people, that person would be less subject to making mistakes. At the same time, we find that when you read, for example, history books, or for example different history books about a certain historical period, or for example when you read various history books about one subject, it's as if you experienced and you share with other people the fruits and the results of the experience of having witnessed that place, or for example civilization, culture, and institution, and else.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. The title of this part is The Right of Him, Allah, Whose Advice and Consultation You Seek. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and this program, today's special. Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, states, "And the right of him whose advice you seek is that you should not accuse him when he gives you advice that does not conform to your own opinion." It is quite natural that opinions are divergent and people have various views about their affairs in which they disagree. You are free not to accept his advice if you doubt it. However, you are not permitted to accuse him of providing you with ill advice as long as you consider him to be of those worthy of consultation. Do not stop thanking him for the thoughts and the good advice he has given you, and if it was appropriate for you, you should thank Allah for it. Accept it from your brother, from your sister, with gratitude, and be ready to act similarly for him should one day he seek your advice. And there is no power but in Allah. Imam Sajjad advises us not to accuse the one whose advice we seek if what they suggest does not agree with our own opinion. If his advice is in agreement with our own opinion, then we should thank Allah and be grateful to the person who advised us.
I see you in the wings that chase the night, circling the warmth of candlelight. I hear you in the wind as the two poles spin, whispering the truth your heart holds in. I feel you in the chill as the seasons turn, laying down a seed with its lessons learned. The circle spins a perfect line, free from borders, free from time. I close my eyes and clear my mind. The circle joins your love with mine.
Who's to consult with? Dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to listen to the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, said, consultation should be carried out within its limits. Otherwise, it will be more harmful than beneficial to the one seeking advice. Firstly, the one consulted should be intelligent. Secondly, he should be a free, religious man. Thirdly, he should be a sincere friend. Fourthly, when he becomes acquainted with your inner thoughts, his knowledge of it should be like your knowledge of yourself. Imam Kazim, peace be upon him, said, O Hisham, associating with people of religion is nobility in this world and the hereafter. Consulting with an intelligent, sincere advisor is good fortune and a blessing and guidance. It is a form of divine success. Therefore, be aware of acting against the advice of an intelligent, sincere advisor whose advice you seek, for in that lies ruin.
وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرُهُمْ, their affairs in the community has to be a consultation among them. Consultation is against dictatorship. Beginning with the family. In the family is made of a father and a mother, husband and a wife, and children, whether one or five or more. They have to implement consultation, shura. Shura. Shura means that they have to speak to each other and they have to consult. And when something important comes up, they have to discuss it. The husband has to discuss that with his wife. The wife has to discuss that with her husband and her kids. They have to discuss it. They have to give their opinion. This is the adab, the manners, the teachings of this book. In the family, when you have something important, when you are about to make an important decision, you have to get them on board. Members of the family, they have to sit and discuss this. Discuss it among themselves. They should not make a decision, you know, hasty decision with no consultation. This is called dictatorship. We think dictatorship is only in the presidential palace, only in politics. No. Sometimes it's in the family. In the family, one of them. Sometimes the father, sometimes the mother, sometimes one of the kids, their son, their daughter. They make decisions without consultation. This is not good. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. They should consult. مَا خَابَ مَنِ اسْتَشَارَ يَقُولُ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Someone whose habit is to consult is not going to be disappointed.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we join you in another episode. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.